Good morning. I just wanted to say this. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. And you can say church there too at the end. Church. This was true 3,000 years ago. This was true 3 weeks ago. And this is true today. Amen. Like Scott's already said, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. What a gift it is to be a father. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And they will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And I like to think that's pickleball court. But it's probably not. But fathers, you play an important role in the life of your children, and we thank you for your work and your love for them. And with the power that's granted to me by the proximity of this microphone to my mouth, I grant you 24 hours of no diaper changing. 10:34, we'll mark it down, 24 hours. 15 minutes of uninterrupted golf watching on TV today. Just 15 minutes, but that's uninterrupted. So that's like 2 hours of like somewhat interrupted. We have the U.S. Open today if you're a golf fan, and that's kind of a fun thing. So shall it be said, so shall it be done, okay? No arguing here. I want to welcome you guys this morning. I apologize if you were thinking this was going to be somebody else speaking today. If you don't know me, my name is Zach Clift. I am one of the followers of Jesus that go here. And my family started going to this church back in June of 2000. So literally 25 years ago. I don't know the exact date, but you know, it's probably within a week or so of today. And we were coming from out of state, but we needed to make sure Y2K was how it was gonna affect Texas and everything else. And so after that, after we realized it was all good, Y2K, do you remember that? Y2K, so 25 years ago, and then we came here. So in this church, I was raised in this church. I graduated high school while I was in this church. I graduated college when I was in this church. I found, you know, pretty much all of my friends as I was coming here, my adopted family. I found my wife. I got married in this church. I dedicated my children to this church. I've spoken here on a Sunday maybe 3 or 4 times already, including one time, if you remember, which is just kind of crazy. It's almost been 11 years since our 30th anniversary, and we did Late Morning with Zach Clift, if you remember that. That's like a little self-serving, but it was only because we were trying to make it a late night TV show feel, if any of you guys remember that. And that was kind of fun. So I've had an opportunity to speak a few times up here. And like Scott said, I'm normally scheduled to be in Kids World on this Sunday. We luckily had some amazing people that were able to swap out for me. So I feel like I get to kind of take the week off and kind of just like being here with you guys. That's a little bit easier, I think. So I knew Christ before I came here, but almost all that I know and that is valuable in this earthly life, I know because of this church, right? So I'm grateful for all of you guys. And I say all that to just say that this is my tribe and that you guys are my people. So we need one another. And if you aren't one of these people yet, feel free. You're accepted. You're in. So Scott, I want to thank you and Mama Hale for having trust in me about this service this morning. Scott asked me a little over a week ago, and I essentially told him the exact thing that you're thinking right now. I'm not qualified to speak on Father's Day. And Scott basically said, well, Zach, I don't know if you know this, but you are a father. And I said, well, that's true. And he said, and you have a father. And I said, that's true. And he said, you have a heavenly father. And I said, that's true. And then he said, and you know Jesus, and you have the Holy Spirit. I was like, man, all those are true. I was like, but there still might be somebody else, I think, that could probably do this, even though all those were true. So I took some time, I prayed about it, and I believe that I'm being faithful to do what I was asked. And so I'm not here to say what I have to say this morning is not important, because I do believe that God cares about what we say. But less important than what I have to say is what the Holy Spirit is going to say to you today. Right? Am I right on that?
Amen.
Okay. So, I need some people to be honest with you, with me today. You may have been here on a Sunday morning, heard a great message, said a few amens, and left. And then 2 weeks later, you can't remember what was being said, right? And that's not going against Scott on that. That's just saying, like, that's kind of how our brains work sometimes, right? And that's going to happen to some of you guys in here today. Some of you guys might fall asleep, and that's okay too, because I've been there. Sometimes you're burning the candle at both ends, and the only time you're sitting still in a comfortable area is when you're here on Sunday. So that's okay if you fall asleep too. I've been there. That's okay. I want you to get your sleep. Your sleep's important. So if that's necessary, no judgment here. Plus, we kind of keep it cold in here. Bob keeps it about 50 degrees in this room. That's partly to keep you awake. But also, we got to keep the meat fresh in here. All the hanging meat that we have, so we have to keep that fresh. But I'm here to say that many of the encounters that I've had with the Holy Spirit, I remember. Many of them. I remember those sweet nudgings, those loving convictions, and sometimes what feels like a good old-fashioned butt-whooping, right? And they are all precious to me. So, I'm praying and believing this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you guys today, outside of whatever I'm saying. So, I'd also like to say that a lot of you guys probably couldn't remember what you had for lunch on Wednesday, right? Doesn't mean that it wasn't nourishment to your body on Wednesday. Raising Cane's, thank God. Open on Sunday. That's an important thing. So, that's what I had for lunch on Wednesday, I think. Okay. So, Father's Day. I said I first want to say Father's Day. I want to say Happy Father's Day to my dad. I cherish my friendship with my dad. I welcome his wisdom. My father was part of a family transition that we can trace in our family as our Christian lineage to when he was about a 10 or 11-year-old boy, because I come from a family that was lost. We were full of drug addicts and alcoholics, rebel rousers, and people that, you know, That we can look back now and say, thank God that we aren't those people anymore. But because of the faithfulness of God, I believe that we have broken that curse off my family. Amen. And Dad, I hope that that I honor you with that. So many of you know my wife, Pam. She's sitting over there. Actually, can we go to the what's the first slide, Stephanie? Okay, that's cool. What's the next one? Okay, yeah, great. Cool. So there's a real quick picture of my dad and my son. They both got zero turn mowers, and they like riding together on those. And then there's my wife Pam. If you haven't seen it, that was us at the national championship game for the University of Houston Cougars. We played the Florida Gators. It was a great game. We got to be there, and it was a heartbreaking end to the game. But we were still very proud of the team, right? So that's part of, you know, I'm just explaining a little bit of you so you know that I'm not just like some random hobo off the street here. But when I found Pam, I found a good thing.
Amen.
And, you know, I always knew that I wasn't a dummy. I knew that. I didn't know that. But after I married her, I did not realize how smart I truly was. I'm pretty smart because I got to marry her. So we've been married for almost 13 years. We're just starting to graduate the newlywed stage. And they say the first 13 years are the toughest. So we're in good shape with that. I think it's going great. And she's a mom to our three kids, and I'm so proud of our kids. As parents, we want our kids to be successful. My wife and I are definitely not perfect in raising them, but we are trusting God that he gives us grace to raise them the best that we can. Knowing this week was Father's Day, I spent some time thinking of some of their most defining attributes. They aren't in here today, but maybe they might hear this one day. So if you go to the next slide. Yeah, there we go. So in the top left-hand corner, that's Elsie. That's my oldest. She's 7. And she's so smart. She's a great swimmer. Yesterday, we had to spend 9 hours at the pool for a swim meet. She was in the water for a total of 2 minutes, but we had to be there for 9 hours for this portion. She's a leader, a teacher. She is selfless. She's wise. And she's a mama bear to her siblings and her younger cousins. Eleanor, It's in the bottom right there. You can kind of see her. She just recently graduated from preschool. And Eleanor will be 5 in a couple weeks, and she is so funny. She's what we call the spice in our rice. She's the one that kind of keeps things lively around our house. And she's very quick-witted. She's always got something, kind of a comeback. And she's very sweet. She's very caring. And I do admire how brave that she is. And lastly, I have Henry. He's 2, and he's on the right there. He's very smart. He's very focused. He's passionate about things, very loving. And he's a great communicator. He's a great communicator. I truly have a lot to be grateful for, and I love them very much. But I can acknowledge that today, just like Scott said, it is a difficult day for many of us. Some of us have lost our earthly fathers. We never knew some of them. And some of us have estranged relationships with our fathers. And we are actually going to pray about that today before the service is done. And it's probably safe that most of us here have recently lost our spiritual father, Pastor Albert. So today is not easy and more bitter than sweet, but man, that is a great man. Many of us hope that we would have had a funeral like he had a week and a half ago. Few of us are willing to put in the hard work, the sacrifice, and the selflessness to get there, but many of us wish that ours were. And can I just say that the song at the end, I mean, that was crazy. That's like probably top 3 or 4 moments of all time of anywhere, anything about anywhere. So I think you can maybe still see that online if you'd like to, but that was powerful. I had the privilege of going on a few mission trips with Pastor Albert, once in 2007 to Guatemala. And I was like, maybe I just graduated high school, I think, at that point. And we had a great time for about a week. But in 2010, I had the privilege to go for a month-long trip. It was Pastor and I. We were the only 2 that went the entire month. Some other people joined us. Bob was there. Scott and Dale, you guys came for the India part of this trip. But we spent most of our time in East Africa and spent some time, maybe 9 or 10 days, in India. And so I was dating Pam back at this time, back in 2010. And this part's true. I had a few different fathers in Kenya offering their daughters in marriage to me during that time. And I don't fully understand the whole process. I know there's like a lot of livestock involved in that process. And to be honest with you, I was a little freaked out by like that kind of going on. But Pastor Albert assured me that that was me, I think. Was it me? Sorry. But Pastor Albert assured me that if I stayed on my best behavior, I didn't have to marry them, and I could still marry Pam. And so, but at least on the Africa portion of this trip, where we were doing a minimum of 1 service a day, sometimes more. And these aren't like 45-minute services, kind of like, you know, we might be used to here. Some of these go 4 and 5 and 6 hours long, right? But if you had to walk 5 or 10 kilometers to get to where you're at, and then you have to walk back, you're not really that interested in just being there for 45 minutes, right? It becomes a whole thing. We eat together. We worship together. We preach together and pray for one another and do all of that. So I got to hear Pastor Albert preach many times throughout the years. Unfortunately, I only got to know him for 25 years. But that month that we spent traveling, I learned more about how to walk in the Spirit and how to carry myself as a man than I did any other time in my life. That was a very impactful time of my life. I was, like I said, about 21 years old. So, all this is part of my intro. Thank you for being patient with me as we continue to remember that great man. A great father figure to many of us. It's not easy, but that's a good thing, right? Like, we remember that's a good thing. Excuse me. I do have a question, though, today. Why are we here today? Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing? It's okay not to know if you don't know. But it needs to be simple. And I came up with like a little definition. Maybe this isn't the best, but I just came up with this. We're here to worship God, who's worthy of all of our praise. Amen. Check, right? We need to love others, be hands and feet while we're in here, loving others. And we need to partner with God to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, right? That's why we're here. Right? Not for any other reasons really beyond that. So, thank you for my intro. Let's pray and we can get started. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. God, you are good, you are holy, you are mighty. We just thank you for this morning. We just thank you, God. We thank you for all that you're doing in the hearts and lives of the people here, the people who are listening later. I just thank you, God, for all the good things that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's message may be a little different in terms of the quality of message that we hear. It will be a little simpler, there's no doubt about that, because as many of you guys know, I'm a pretty simple person, right? I'm not, I don't understand things too deeply. And so I'm going to break down a few things of how it's going to go today. Today's message, we're going to spend some time reading the Word. The Holy Spirit will do what He does, right? I will try to encourage us in the building of the kingdom. We will do communion. We will pray to end. And then we will leave here, hopefully encouraged to love Him and one another more. My hope in here today is that every father will leave here and head straight to their favorite barbecue establishment. Right? Amen. Pass go. Don't collect $200. Go straight to Rudy's. Okay? That's what I'm praying today. So, we're doing a continuation of last week's sermon on the Holy Spirit. I was going to title this message, Why Does Jesus Think So Poorly of Your Parenting Skills? Right? But I figured that might not be, like, super nice. People might walk out. And to be honest with you, your parenting skills are kind of like just a portion of what we're going to be talking about today. I am going to teach you guys, though, a technique that we've kind of developed in Kids World to help kind of keep people engaged, okay? So, anybody ever heard of Focus Fox here? Focus Fox. It looks kind of like a fox. Do just like this. Okay, so if I ever do this, okay, I'm going to need you guys to say, let's keep reading, okay? All right, so let's practice.
Let's keep reading.
Okay, very good. One more time.
Let's keep reading.
Okay, very good. So if you see this, let's keep reading. That hopefully keeps you a little bit engaged in what we're doing, and it works well when we're in there, right? And we also usually have some candy, too, which I should have brought some candy. That's usually, sometimes I will just go in if I feel like things are kind of, you know, people are having their own discussions. Sometimes I'll just grab into, we have a little treasure box back there, and I'll just grab a couple of pieces of candy. And I don't even mention it. I just kind of hold it like this and just kind of keep talking and just do this. And you can see everybody. All right, they're back. We're back. So remember, if I do this, let's keep reading. Okay, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 11. The context here is Jesus just got done telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he visited the house of Martha and Mary. Remember in Bethany? Some of you guys may know this story. That's when Jesus was all like, Martha, 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 right? Be more like Mary. That's kind of what Jesus was saying. That's kind of the Brady Bunch version of what Jesus was saying there. And he left that area and he went to go pray. And when he had finished, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's when Jesus taught how to pray. And today we know that as the Lord's Prayer, right? You know, I can say it real quick. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who has sinned against us and lead us not in temptation. Okay. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Stephanie, can you turn there? Let's pray. Okay, thank you. We got a couple. You guys are getting it. It'll take some time. Let's keep reading. Okay, we know where we're at. We're going to keep reading. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, then Jesus said to them, suppose that you have a friend. Okay, imagine in here, some of you guys have a friend. That's harder for some of you than others, but imagine you have a friend. I have a friend that I give him a call and I say, hey, we still friends? He says, yep. I said, okay, great. We hang up. We do that about every 6 months or so, so that way I know I always have at least one friend, right? That's it. Boom. Got a friend. Okay, so suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight. Okay, if you're in Texas, I caution you to go to somebody's house at midnight. It's not always the easiest thing. Okay? And say, so you have a friend, you go to his house at midnight, and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Another friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked. The lights are out. My skivvies are on. And my children and I are in bed. Right? I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not give up and give the bread because of friendship, yet because of shameless audacity, impudence, or what I like to call saucy boldness, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Jesus is referring to some customs at the time, just like many of us have customs of hospitality, like here in the South, right? We like to take care of our visitors. This would have been unthinkable at the time to not have something for his friend. Notice the man in the house doesn't refer to the knocker as a friend, right? And he's frankly unwilling to help. And I would say, understandably so. I might say, this sounds like you got a problem, brother. That's what I would have said to that guy knocking on my door at midnight. But ultimately, he does respond. If the neighbor responds, how much more should we be willing to ask the Father for necessary things? Right? So this is the beginning of Jesus contrasting how we are with the willingness of God to help us. It shows us that his ways are different, or what I like to call the how much more principle. Okay, Stephanie, you can go back to the first slide there. There we go. The God of the how much more. How much more, right? So this is him just beginning to explain that process. Okay, let's keep reading. Thank you, John. Thank you. Appreciate it. If I don't hear anybody, then we'll just close it down and we'll go, but hopefully we get one, at least one. So in verse 9, thank you, Stephanie. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Right? We've probably heard that before. Again, remember, simple here. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this. So Jesus is first saying ask. Ask here is implying two things. One, that you're recognizing you have a need. All of us must recognize that we have a need. We all do. Secondly, notice it's not saying demand or require, but by asking, we are approaching with a sense of humility by asking. Although I would say the man that was knocking wasn't acting so humbly, but he was desperate. Many of us have desperate needs for good things in our life. So next slide, Stephanie. Humbly is always good. Sometimes saucy boldness is necessary. Sometimes it's necessary. So, second, it says seek. We got to ask. It says seek was the second one. Seeking is different than asking. By saying seek, Jesus is revealing that we have some sort of part to play in this process, right? We can't earn it or do enough good things to get it, right? Sometimes in kids' world, we talk about how many points do we need to get to heaven? Tell me the points. Of course, everyone says, no, it's not a point system. Of course, it's not a point system. But a lot of times we act like it is, okay? So, but we do have something, we do have a part to play in this. We can't just be indifferent. We can't be bumps on the log. We have to seek. Okay, lastly, it says knock. We have already sucked. I don't believe what you guys are saying, but okay, we'll just go with what I said. Seeked. And you guys said sought, but it's fine. We've already asked. Knocking suggests that we must persevere, right? We're going to keep knocking. So we must persevere and know that God is faithful and all good things come from God according to his will. So when we do this thing, we will receive, we will find, and it will be open to us. Okay, so this is great. This tells us how to get something. Right after he taught us how to pray. So he taught us how to pray, then he told us how to get something. Okay, so the question is, what are we asking for? We might think, whatever we can think of, right? My cosmic genie has arrived, right? Aladdin reference. And so he can grant me my wishes of everything. See, it says it right here. Should we ask for whatever we think will make us happy? Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. In verse 11, it says, which of you fathers? Okay, great timing. Father's Day. See that? Father's Day. Great timing. Let's see what he says about your parenting skills. If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? All right, who would do that? Derek, would you do that? Now, he might do that. You don't even like bugs, so he doesn't like bugs. But Jesus is showing a scenario here that is ridiculous. No one would do this because we love our children, right? And we don't want to harm them. Let's keep reading. If you then, who are evil, yikes, maybe that's not great. You who are evil, separated from God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay, great. Now we know what we should be asking for. We should be asking for the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we must ask. We must ask. Jesus is saying your earthly fathers wouldn't punish you or trick you. The God of the universe who defines love is saying, how much more do I want to give you good things? I want to give you good things. God knows what you need, and I can almost promise you what you need is not the new grill smoker combo 9000, right? Or that new shiny watch or that handbag. Recently, my daughter asked me for if she could have a Lamborghini. I'm not really sure how she knows about a Lamborghini. We're kind of like Ford and Hyundai type people in our house. And so, but she's seven. And so, do you think I would be considered a good father if I was able to and I gave her a Lamborghini? No. I might be considered homicidal by doing this. Our request should represent our need for the Holy Spirit of God and those fruits and gifts. This is much more than we can possibly imagine. Okay, let's keep reading. Next one, Stephanie. If we turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Freely. So, how much more wonderful these things are than we can imagine. God knows what we need, and these things are so much better than those other things I mentioned. The Holy Spirit fills the void of the things that we know we are missing, and the things that we don't fully understand that we also are missing. The Holy Spirit does many things. Let's talk about it. It helps us understand the Word, the Scripture. It convicts us. It comforts us. It encourages. It advocates for us. It reveals the will of God. But I think all of those things can be summed up in two things. Stephanie? One, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to walk in right relationship with God. Okay? Our posture and positioning in correct alignment, understanding that he is Lord. And if you've been around here for a while, you might have understood that term to mean righteousness. Amen. Right? The Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk in his ways. That's what number one. Number two, it gives us the power to share the truth with others. What we might call the gospel, right? And in such a way that others can receive it. not just say it and nobody's hearing it and it doesn't have any effect on their lives. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to be able to speak those things and that it can change other people's lives. Not us, not us, the Holy Spirit and his word. Okay? Amen. So what Jesus is saying is we should be asking for the things that are eternal. Not the fancy new boat. What are the two best days of owning a boat, right? The day you bought it, the day you sell it. Those are super happy, right? So those are not; those don't last forever. Although you typically are smiling when you're on it. Or a vacation in the Caribbean, right? Which sounds fun to me. He is telling us that when we ask for the Holy Spirit, good things, and we begin to listen to it, the fruits of God's Spirit will begin to bloom in our lives. That is why we truly need more and should desire, and it's the worthy and the beautiful things of life, the fruits of God's Spirit. So, a wise man once said that God cares more about who you are becoming, right, than what vacation you're going on. Right? Or I kind of paraphrase that a little bit, but Scott says that all the time. The Holy Spirit begins to birth a love for your fellow humans. Not a love that is assumed by the world, that is based on conditions of whether you believe what I believe or you think the way that I think, but of unconditional love. A love that we won't read today, but is beautifully summed up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if I give you any homework, I'm giving you a little bit of homework later too, but this is a good one to remind yourself in. Then joy starts to bloom in your life. Joy. What is joy? Do we have anything on joy up there? Maybe not. We'll see. So joy is the trust that God's grace is enough for you in all circumstances. It's different than happiness, right? That's a feeling. Joy is deeply rooted and not easily washed away. Peace starts to pop up in your life. Boop. In such a way that people can't explain it. It surpasses their earthly logic. And patience starts budding. Kindness starts to sprout. Goodness guides you. Faithfulness starts to mature. Gentleness flourishes. What is gentleness? It's restrained power. Sometimes meekness is another way to describe it. When I was a little kid, I used to be called Gentle Ben. Anybody remember Gentle Ben? It was a powerful bear that was so kind to a young boy. I read that in school, but I was called that as a kid. Part of it was because I was a big boy. When I was born, I was about almost 12 pounds. So today's Father's Day, but God bless my mother. But I was destined to be a giant. I was growing so fast as a baby that the doctor told my mom to water down the breast milk. We always have this discussion a couple times a year that I have a little brother. I mean, some of you guys might know my little brother. He's 6'5", my little brother. The thing is, I would have way out surpassed my brother if they wouldn't have done that. They stunted my growth. That's what I say. They stunted my growth. I would have been well over 6'5" at that time. As you can see, this is not something I deal with anymore. I'm definitely over it. Yeah, I'm past it. But when I was young, I was a big kid. And like, let's say I was in a nursery or something like that. Other kids, including my sister, a wonderful, amazing, smart woman, but she would eat my lunch sometimes as a kid. She's 2 years younger than me, and I was much bigger than her, but she was able to kind of push me around quite easily. And this would happen to me often, right? It happened a couple different times where a teacher in the ministry, I was in a kid's nursery at the time, the parent might come out and tell my mom about, we left Zach alone for a minute and he was getting beat up by another kid in there and we're so sorry, we did something. But I was much bigger than these kids, but I just never really did anything, right? I was restrained in what I was doing. I could have chosen to have done differently, but I didn't. So back to the fruit, self-control. Self-control shoots up in your life. The fruits are the result of the gift of God's Spirit in your daily life. These are what bring beauty to our life and meaning. These are really the only things that matter in this world. This is why the Holy Spirit is so much more than we can imagine and we realize. And it's free. We don't have to take a loan out for this, right? We're not in debt for this. We've talked about the principle of how much more. Let's see if we can find any other examples of that in Scripture. Spoiler alert, we will. Okay, so let's keep reading. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22, should be on your screen. Jesus says, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Anybody in here ever been anxious about anything? Okay, all right, so maybe you understand a little bit of what I do. But what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, and they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more valuable are you than the birds? Whoop, we found it. We found one. How much more? I told you. God loves birds, but he loves you infinitely more, and he wants that to be clear to you, right? It's kind of clear in this, but let's keep reading. Verse 25, and it says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small of a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" So this is what us 90s kids used to call a sick burn by Jesus here, right? This honestly doesn't seem like that easy of a thing to add an hour, but the point is how much more important is the 1 hour, or how important is 1 hour in the course of your life? Not that important, and if you can't do it, if you can't even do it, Jesus is saying, well, don't even worry about eternity. You can forget about it, right? You can forget about eternity if you can't even do 1 hour. Okay, so let's keep reading. Consider the lilies. This is in 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Oh, found another one. Are you guys starting to believe me yet about this? I don't know. It doesn't seem like you guys are really believing me yet. So, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. So he gets it. He knows that. That's not a surprise to him. He knows that you need those things. Do not seek here does not imply that we do not need to work to support ourselves, right? That's not what he's implying. But it's a warning to not worry and to make temporary earthly desires, to not make temporary earthly desires the object of your life goal. These aren't the goals. Okay? Last verse 31 says, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Seek his kingdom, right? God already knows you need these things. He can provide them. Whatever the thing is that you think is so big that he can't do. How many times in my life where God has done a miracle, I've been praying for things. One of the things, we were struggling at one time to become a mother and a father, my wife and I, and we were praying, and God, you know, did a miracle in our life. And then I was out of work for a period of time and didn't think anybody would ever think anything I would ever do again, sorry, would be valuable. And God did these miracles, miracle after miracle. I think that's true in a lot of your lives. I know a lot of you, so I know that to be true. At the same time, sometimes we think, well, you did it last time, but this one's probably a little bit too big for you this time. No, God knows this. So it doesn't seem like you guys are really believing me here based on the stares on this how much more. So let's see if we can find one more. Spoiler alert, we can, and we can actually find a lot more, but we'll find at least one more. So, let's keep reading. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9, that's where we're going to be reading. See, the Pharisees did not like what Jesus was all about. They liked a few things of what he was about, but they were always trying to trap him and corner him on certain things, right? Some of you may know that. Pharisees were sect of Jews during this time. So verse 9, we're reading. He went on from there, this is Jesus, and entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Seems a little accusatory. "So that they may accuse him," he said. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into the pit on a Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more valuable is a man than sheep?" See, I told you, we found it. Amen. It is lawful to do good on Sabbath. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy, just like the other. Now, I think it's clear that humans are more valuable than sheep. Amen. Jesus here is not challenging the law of the Sabbath. He wants us to understand the reason for the law. Jesus is saying the higher principle is not simply refraining from work, but doing good on the earth. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to do good works. It's not enough to not do something bad. You need to be doing something good. It used to be, if I just don't do this bad thing, I'm good. But Jesus is saying, that's not enough. That's just the minimum of what we're doing. You should also be doing good, right? So the withered hand here from the man is almost an afterthought of what Jesus is doing, although probably not for that guy. That guy was probably, that was a big deal, I'm sure. But it is necessary for Jesus to do this, to show that doing good is the point, and for them to see that their hypocrisy was holding them back. He sees your need, and he wants to meet you there. He wants you to be doing good. And if we do say that we love him, we got to do that. Right. It's not just a suggestion. Okay? The Pharisees obviously didn't think too kindly of this stunt. Jesus interpreted the law and faced persecution for this stunt and ultimately suffered death. He was teaching in a way that was much more. Now, how many here know suffering and trials are inevitable in this life? It's inevitable, okay? I remember I spoke a message in the Bridge one time, and this was probably, for sure, at least 15 years ago, but maybe more than that. And Scott, I think you were there. You probably don't remember this, but my message was basically, I said that if we choose to follow God, we will face suffering, right? And we will face trials of many kinds, and whether that be in our family, in our career, in our friendships, right? There are multiple times that Jesus in the four Gospels talks about how you're going to face trials and persecution and suffering, literally says suffering, right? Jesus says this many times. So I found a passage in each one of the Gospels, and I found it, and I read that passage, and many nodded, kind of like how you guys are doing today. Yeah, okay, we get it. And I was like, guys, not everything is butterflies and rainbows. No matter how strong your faith is, you're going to face these things. And I was like, after I read each Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I was like, if you guys don't believe me, I'm going to show you guys in Acts. And so I read another passage in Acts that says the same thing. And this is actually where I really started to kind of lay it on thick, because people were like, okay, all right, we get it. And I was like, let me just show you guys in Romans something. And I read the same exact passage in Romans. And then 1 Corinthians. And I kept reading another passage in the next book of the New Testament. And I just kept going through every book of the New Testament, reading the same thing. And people began to get frustrated with me in the Bridge. And they're like, Zach, we get it. You don't have to keep reading. But I was like, I just kept pretending come on, guys, please, just understand me, believe me, it's here. And they were saying, we get it. And I was like, please understand this. And people were legitimately getting frustrated with me at the time. And I kept going. I went all the way through Revelations. And at the end of Revelations, I was like, if you guys don't believe me, I'm going to the Old Testament to say this. And you would have thought there was a mutiny on my hands. I didn't have anything prepared for the Old Testament at the time. So it was kind of just a false threat there, but But I could, right? And so I went through every book, and maybe kind of similar to how I'm doing today, right? I'm answering my own questions here. But what was my point? Was it following Jesus is just a bummer, we're gonna suffer, it's gonna be bad? My point was suffering is coming in many of its forms, actually regardless of what you do. No matter how much you wanna wish this away, how much you don't like it, how much you just wanna be comfortable, this will not be the case. But for the Holy Spirit that God so freely gives and generously, the God of the how much more, the how much more than our earthly understanding, that confuses the wise, that gives our life purpose and meaning. If you don't have that, if you don't have meaning, what's your point? This is God's Spirit with us on earth that bears the beautiful fruit in our lives. What's also interesting is that we haven't even discussed the gifts of the Holy Spirit yet. You know, there's fruits and gifts. Kind of sounds like an edible arrangement. Fruits and gifts, edible arrangement. But that's a whole other dimension, and we might talk about that at a later time. But the gifts are another whole part of the Spirit, and it's wonderful. So as we begin to kind of wrap up today's message, we're going to do good. We're going to get out before one. Scott, we got this. We're doing good. So as we land this plane, I have a challenge for those who are here and don't know the Holy Spirit and have asked for him. I have also have a challenge for those who have asked for him and do know him, and he was freely given. To those of you who know the Holy Spirit, they're here. Do something good. Do it for the kingdom. This will be a little uncomfortable or not in your normal routine. It will stretch you. I'm talking to a lot of my friends and brothers and sisters that I know well in here. Do something that seems difficult. Many of the things that Pastor Albert did. Partner with God and his kingdom to leave a legacy. Many of us in 25 years, 50 years, won't be around anymore. Leave a legacy. And that won't be easy. The Holy Spirit is speaking to every single person in this room now about those things, possibly new things that have been kind of going around in your mind, maybe things that you knew but have been dormant. It doesn't have to be new things. He is calling you to deeper things today if you know the Holy Spirit. I believe that. So, for those of you who have heard Jesus but have never asked, you haven't asked for the Holy Spirit, and you desire more fruit in your life, he's available. He's available for you, freely and generously. But you have to ask. You have to ask. You can do that right now. You can do that when you go home. You can do that at Rudy's. I encourage you to get a taste of the Holy Spirit and the fruit. Taste and see that the Spirit, that his Spirit will bear beautiful things in your life. Things that are eternal. Things that are eternal. Lastly, before we do communion, which we will do communion, if you are here or listening to this later, and you feel a nudging in your conscience, a tugging in your heart, a slight dizziness, okay, that might be something else, but you have never taken the next step to follow Jesus. He's here. Wherever you're at, he's there. And he wants to be the Lord in your life. If you're saying, well, I just don't know if I believe in him. I've heard some things about this, and I've heard some things about that. Well, let me tell you this. He believes in you. Amen. He believes in you. Amen? So, you can take the first step to the best journey in life that you can be on. And it's not a guarantee that your life will be perfect or that you won't face any more trials of any kind. I'm actually kind of guaranteeing you the opposite of that. Okay? But it is a life that puts you in balance with God's kingdom. All right? In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says, "I have come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life, went around doing miracles and healing and deliverance, ultimately was crucified for walking in the authority of the Father. He died so that you may live eternally. He rose again and said that he was sending his Holy Spirit to you. Now, it's a process, but ultimately what he wants is you to be a part of reconciling the earth to God. Amen. That's what he wants you to be a part of. That's what he's asking you. Do you see that this is broken? Do you see that things aren't working well? Great. Partner with me. Amen. Perfect. Thank you. Jesus is saying, you see that there's all these problems? You get it. You got it. You're getting there, right? He wants you to partner. All we have to do is confess that he is Lord and choose to follow him.
Right.
So as we're moving on to communion here, Stephanie, John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus says that I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. I've heard some people say that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Seems pretty clear here to me. If we keep reading, it says, "And the bread that I will give for this life of the world is my flesh." So in remembrance of that living bread and that wine, his blood poured out, we partake in this communion. This is a part of reconciling ourselves back to the Lord and remembering his sacrifice. This is an open communion. All are welcome. I'll come back up here in a minute and pray us out. Let's take communion together. And remember the God of the much, much more than you could possibly understand. The goodness and the faithfulness of his love. I gave you guys a couple of homework assignments. One, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read it one time a day this week. Let's do that. Two, if you know the Holy Spirit and you've asked, do something good. Not just like good, but like good. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, ask. And if you haven't had an encounter with Jesus, give him a chance. I told you guys I would do this before we left, because I would just say this. If we haven't learned anything in the past couple weeks, that life is short, right? And having difficult relationships with those who we love is a waste of time. If we can in any way get around it. Sometimes there's more serious things going on than others know, but if there is a way that we can get around that, let's care about those people who are closest to us, including our fathers, our mothers, our sons, and our daughters. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your Holy Spirit that is speaking to us today. Right now, I pray for every father and mother, every son and every daughter who is here today that may have difficult relationships with those that they love. I pray right now that those chains be broken, those issues and God, you know what's going on. And you are much more than we could possibly ever imagine. So we just thank you right now for healing those relationships, for bringing us closer to one another. If we're listening to your Holy Spirit, that is what will happen. And we thank you for everything that we're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, Scott likes to give a benediction. I'll give the same one that he does. I pray that you guys have a great week this week. Thank you guys for coming. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.